Well, good morning, everyone. Really good to see each and every one of you here, and especially to start a new series this morning called God at Work, looking at what the truth of God's Word has to say about our working lives. Those of you who come here regularly will know that the normal way that we approach things is to work through passages of Scripture in consecutive order from different books of the Bible, but with this next series, for the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to be taking more of a sort of thematic approach as we look at various questions to do with our topic of God at Work. If you're interested to see what's coming up, there's these teaching programs which are available on the welcome table on the way out, and you'll be able to see some of the questions and topics that we will be looking at. And really the fundamental thing which I want to try and get across for these next 8 weeks or so is that if we are Christians, then we have both creation work and new creation work to be getting on with. So both creation work and new creation work. If you're here and you aren't a Christian, then you basically only have creation work to be getting on with at the moment. But if you are here and you're somebody that knows Christ and loves him and is part of his people, then you, no matter who you are, actually have both creation and new creation work to be getting on with for God's glory. I'm not going to unpack all of that thesis right now, but that's the sort of macro scale. That's the big picture of where we are actually going. And obviously, this morning, we are talking about work and creation, and therefore the vast majority of our time this morning will be spent looking at what we're calling creation work and unpacking what that is. So how do you feel when your alarm clock goes off on Monday morning? You do not all have to answer that out loud. Maybe you are the kind of person like this, and you spring out of bed as fast as you can, rearing to go out into the working week which is ahead of you. Or maybe this is a little bit more like you here. I'm not sure whether any of you can recognise yourself in that picture there. Or maybe this is a little bit more like you here. You are the kind of person, and I must admit that I was generally speaking like this. I would hit the snooze on the alarm clock as many times as I actually could, and sleep in right until the very last minute, and I really had to wake up. So we may have many feelings about Monday mornings. We probably have many feelings represented here about work. Coming up on the screen in a moment is a quote from someone in London from my time in Canary Wharf. So this is what someone there had to say. The photograph is not the person who made the quote. "My father, a city lawyer himself, was keen for me to go into law. Why not just try it, he said. You can always give it up if you don't like. So I thought. But 10 years on, there isn't a chance I'd give up my job, and probably for all the wrong reasons. People talk about job satisfaction, but I can't say that I enjoy mine. I don't hate it, I'm just not very passionate about it. I think of what I do, much like I imagine a window cleaner thinks of his job, as a means to an end." So then what's your attitude to your work? The topic of work, of course, is a very important one for all of us, no matter who we are. And I think the attitude which is expressed through that quotation there on the screen is probably a fairly common one. Not sure whether it's common for us here, but it's probably a fairly common one amongst lots of people, whether they would call themselves Christians or not. However, what we'll be thinking about over these next 8 weeks or so is that God in his word actually has a lot to say to us about this whole subject of work. Actually things to say to us which I really passionately believe are truly radical, they are truly freeing, and also truly life-transforming and life-changing as well. And my hope and prayer from this series is that it really will give us a sort of whole sea change in our attitude to how we integrate our relationship with God with our work that we actually do. And of course, what we're doing this morning is we're going to try and get right back to the very start and see what God's original plan and purpose and blueprint for our work actually was. So if you like, work as God originally planned it, work as God originally intended it. If you're looking for how we're going to define work, that's how I'm defining work there, or meaningful activity that is not sleep or leisure. Okay? So I take it that neither sleep nor leisure are work, but actually I think work just about includes all other meaningful activity there. Now I'm aware that any Marxists or communists among you aren't going to agree with that particular definition of work, but nonetheless that's the definition of work that we will be using. And what that means is that when we are speaking about work, we aren't just speaking about paid employment here. Although, of course, for many of us, our paid employment is a large constituency of what we would think of being as our work. But this, of course, also includes things like volunteering. It also includes our parents at home raising kids as well. I believe these things are also work and also come under the sort of subject of work that we get in God's Word. Work is all meaningful activity that is not sleep or leisure. And if anybody can think up a more appropriate definition of work, you can have a chat with me afterwards. So then, why don't we look back at these first couple of chapters? The book of Genesis is page 1 and page 2 in your pew Bibles, if you're using one of those. And I think there's three things here that have profound relevance for our work. And the first of them is that God himself is a worker. So when we meet God right at the start of the book of Genesis, right in the very first verse that the Holy Spirit has inspired for us to read, one of the things that we learn about God is that he is a worker. So there, Genesis 1, verse 1, we read that in the beginning God created, or God made, the heavens and the earth. And then for the rest of the Genesis 1, as we move through the rest of that chapter, we see exactly what God's work of creation involves. We see God creating things and making things like a master craftsman. We see God categorizing things and naming them like a scientist or a biologist. We see God examining things and saying that they are really good, like an inspector. We see God giving roles to people and animals and things like a good and efficient manager. And so we see very clearly right from this first chapter of God's Word that God is a worker. We worship and serve a God who works. That's something that we see with regard to creation. It's also something that's underlined for us very clearly later on in God's Word to do with redemption as well. So in John 5 and verse 17, for instance, Jesus says these words: "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So both Father and Son are working not just at creation, but also in redemption as well. And I believe that all of these things are things that have significance for us. You may well be here and you're thinking, well, I'm a computer programmer, I'm an architect, I'm an educational psychologist. What on earth has God got to do with my work? However, we know from what we've just looked at that God is of profound relevance to your work because he is a worker himself. God works. That means that God knows about your work. That means that God made your work. That means that God is interested in your work. And that means that God has something to say about your work, which is worth hearing. I think very often in the culture around us, there can be a great pressure on us to keep God out of our work. The attitude seems to be that, well, if you're a Christian, that's okay, just in your own private life, but whatever you do, do not bring God into the workplace. And unfortunately, I believe the Christian church can very often give the same impression as well, even subconsciously. So the Christian church can sometimes give the impression wrongly that what really counts for God is what you do outside your work, not what you do in your work. So it says that what really counts is when you serve, when you explain the gospel, when you serve at a soup kitchen maybe. That's the kind of thing that really counts. But your work, well, God's maybe not quite as interested in that as he is in your service for God out of work. and we think that maybe that doesn't really count so much work. Well, that's just an opportunity to earn money, just a means to an end, just a place where we evangelize. But hopefully, what we've seen here is that God is interested actually not just in work as a means to an end, but actually in what we actually do in our work, because God is a worker himself. I think some of this wrong notion maybe comes from that famous painting by Michelangelo on the roof of the Sistine Chapel in Rome, you know, where God is just sort of relaxing and reclining on a cloud. But that image is not really very helpful at all, is it? Because what we see here clearly in the book of Genesis is that God is a worker. So I think Michelangelo might have served us all far more well if he'd actually portrayed God maybe as a worker, as a master craftsman, perhaps, or maybe as a great artist in a studio. So then, that's the first thing we learn here, that God is a worker. But he's not only a worker himself, he has also made us to work. And so that moves on to our next point, which is that God created us to work like him. So then, if God is a worker himself, then the most important part of God's work was the very pinnacle of his creation, which was making human beings. And we can see this in Genesis 1 and verse 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Very famous, well-known words that remind us that all human beings are created in God's image. And when looking at any topic in God's word, whether it's relationships or work or whatever that happens to actually be, one really crucial place to start is with what it means for us to actually be originally made in God's image. Very, very important. And one of the things that it means to be made in God's image is that we were made for relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another as well. But it also means something else. And it means that one of the ways that we are made in God's image, one of the ways that we are like God, is that we are made to resemble him. So not just relationship, but also resemblance. And one of the ways in which we are to be like God and to resemble him is in the way that we work. So in one sense, we are to work like God. We are to work in a similar way, or a way that has resemblance to the way that God himself works. So then, how are we to resemble God in his work? Well, I think we can see a couple of ways here from Genesis 1 and 2. And the first of them is that we are to be those who take appropriate rest. So look over the page with me at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. And we read there that by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. So we read here that God worked during the week and then took one day off at weekends and had appropriate rest, giving us, therefore, as his people, a model for us to copy. Later on, we'll see that this is very clearly spelled out in the Ten Commandments, for instance. So God says that his people are to rest from their work, and he says that the reason for that is, this is Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea that, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we see there again, resemblance. We are to rest one day in seven because God himself rested from his work also one day in seven. I'm not going to spend very much time expanding on all this now, as we do have a whole sermon coming up on the subject of rest in a few weeks. Now, obviously for us as well, some seasons of life are going to be much more hectic than others. If you're an accountant, if you're a school teacher, you know that there's some seasons of life which are always going to be more hectic than other ones. But we need to note here and underline that God's original plan and God's original purpose and God's original design for us is that we would know when to draw a line under work and take appropriate rest. And so, like God, I do believe that if we're Christians, we are to have a minimum of one day off a week. Minimum of one day off a week. I think this reminds us, helpfully, that we are more than workers. Our work is not the sum total of our lives. It reminds us that the ultimate relationship in your life is not with your work, it is with your God. And therefore, we need to have one day off a week for physical rest and recuperation and to spend time with friends, yes. But we also need to be spiritually refreshed too by spending time meeting together with God's people. I think in a place like Hong Kong, as I'm sure many of you know, sometimes our leisure time can end up being almost as fully packed as our work time. We have to spend so many hours catching up on all of those things that we wished we really could do during the week, but we're just working so hard we haven't got any time to actually do them. But surely this speaks to us here of the importance of being like God, not just in the area of work, but also in the area of rest, both physical and spiritual. And as I say, we'll have opportunity to unpack that more in a future sermon. Then one other area I believe where we are to be like God is in the area of satisfaction and enjoyment. So we're back up at the page for a moment. Genesis 1 and verse 31. We read there that when God finished his work of creation, he stood back, he looked at it, he examined at it, he marveled at it, and he proclaimed that it was very good. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So part of what it means to be made in God's image is also that we should get a measure of satisfaction and pleasure and enjoyment from our work. And I'm sure that all of us, no matter how deep down, do know what this is actually like. So I'm sure you've had some days at least, maybe just a couple, where you've left the office or you've gone home from school or you've sat down after a long day and have had a cup of tea and thought that was a really good day. Today, work went really well. There's maybe some sort of sense of satisfaction about solving a problem or completing your exams or the kids finishing their homework maybe or using your gifts. And you just had a feeling of happiness and a feeling of a job well done and a feeling of satisfaction at the work that you've been able to do with God's help. Now, that might be pretty rare for some of us, maybe, but when we do have days like that, that's a wonderful thing. And that's a thing to give thanks to God for, because we are resembling him. We are showing what it is to be made in his image. We are living out part of what it means to work like God. Probably one of the most well-known examples of this comes from the film Chariots of Fire. So the movie follows the progress of Eric Liddell, who is a Christian athlete, as he gets ready and prepares for the 1924